And he went down to the potter's house and he saw him working at the wheel. Well, today I'm going to take you on a field trip. You know, when I was teaching math, I would use that every semester on every class. I would walk in on a nice sunny day and I would say to them, "We're going on a field trip." And all the students would be so excited. And then I would say to them, "We're going to go looking for square roots." And they would all groan, so they gave me exactly what I was wanting, and then the lesson would go from there. So today, I'm going to take you on a field trip, and we're going to go to the house of the potter. Now, because of electronics, you can just sit in your chair. You don't have to move anywhere, but you're going to be taken to the house of the potter. And I'm going to show you a potter at work. And what I want you to do is to watch and see how the potter works with the clay. Because you see, God is the potter and you and I are the clay. And I believe that there's a lesson in what goes on here as to how God works with you and I. And so you just watch. It's just a short clip. And so you're going to have to watch carefully, and here goes. Watch his hands. Now, how did the potter mold the clay? Pressure? Anything else? He had water there, but what did he actually do with the clay? Did you catch it? I don't think you did. I wonder if I can make this, you just watch. You guys aren't that great as students. Let's go and try again. Now this time, I know it's on a wheel. I know it's turning. I know there's water, but you watch his hands and see what he actually does. He squeezes it and how? Well, that's true, but how's he doing it? Watch his hands. Where's his hands going? Up. You notice that he's taking the clay and he's lifting it up. He's not pushing it down. He's not swatting it around. He just gently takes the clay and he lifts it up. And what I would like to talk to you about this morning is the fact, I don't want you to see it again really, is the fact that when God molds us or changes us, then he does exactly what the potter does. He takes the clay and he lifts it up. And that's how God works with you and I. Now, King David, who was also the psalmist, he wrote a psalm, and we can see that David really understood this concept of the fact that God lifts us up. And so what I would like to read with you this morning is from one of David's psalms. We're just going to read the first three verses. And so it's going to be Psalm 40, and I'll put the verses up here, and we will read them together. So Psalm 40 and verse 1, David says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him." Now, God bless the reading of his precious word. Now, what I would like to do is just quickly go through these verses. take a look at what is actually happening. A number of things that the Lord is doing here. You notice that, first of all, it says that the Lord turned to me and heard my cry. You know, God is always listening for the cry of a sinner or even a believer when they're down. But he always listening for the cry of a sinner. You know, we get a beautiful illustration of that a couple of times in the Gospels when the Lord Jesus was here. You remember with Peter. And Peter thought he would have a new adventure and he would walk on water. And he was okay as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord, but then he started kind of looking around and all of a sudden he started to go down. And all he had to do was cry out, "Lord, save me." And God, the Lord Jesus, reached out his hand and he lifted him up. Another example is one that the Lord Jesus told about two men going up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other was just a publican or a tax collector. The Pharisee, in his prayer, he was quite taken with himself. It was well planned and he said nice things about himself. The publican instead, on the other hand, the publican, he went in, he didn't even lift his head up. He was so taken with his own worthlessness. And he just bowed his head and he said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And the Bible tells us that that man went down to his house justified rather than the other. And so he was lifted up. And you see, that's what God is in the business of today, is in saving sinners and adding them to the church. And so he's always listening to hear the cry of a sinner. And when that sinner cries out for mercy, then God in his grace, and it's mercy, it's as if he reaches down his hand and the sinner takes a hold of the hand of God, and God is the power to lift the sinner up. He's always listening to the cry of a sinner. And then notice the next thing he says, he lifted me out of the slimy pit. Not very nice, is it? He lifted me out of the mud and the mire. Now, these particular words are what the scriptures would use to describe sin. And we know that the scripture is very clear that we all have sinned. We have all come short of the glory of God. We were born in sin. And sin is something that drags us down. You ever notice that? Perhaps in your own life or in the lives of others. Sin is something that can start out so small, but once it gets a grip on a person, it's as if that pulls them down into the miry clay. You know, you think of someone who's a perpetual liar. You know, likely the first time they lied, it bothered their conscience. But they got away with it, they thought. And then the second time they lied, well, perhaps it still bothered their conscience a little bit. But they got away with it again, so they thought. And each time they lied, the easier it got. And so pretty soon they turn into what we refer to as a perpetual liar. What's happened? Well, sin has got its grip on them, because we know the scripture says, "Thou shalt not lie." And so sin has got its grip on them, and it's pulling them down. And that's what sin does, and we have all sinned. And what we need is God's mercy. We need him to lift us up. And so when a person trusts Christ as Savior, that's exactly what happens, is that God lifts them up. And notice where he put them. He puts them on a rock. You will never sink on a rock. It's a firm foundation. And the rock in Scripture speaks to us of Christ. And so when a person is saved, God lifts them up out of their sin. And he puts them in Christ. And they have a solid foundation. What a beautiful picture of what happens when a person is saved. But notice what else happens. It says he put a new song in my mouth. You know, salvation, when a person is saved, when they come to know Christ as Savior, it causes a change in their lives. You know, it's something that's real. It's not just me trying to decide, well, I'm going to change things a little bit. No, it's God coming into the person's life and making a change. And so it says here that he has put a new song, a song of praise into my mouth. A song of praise to our God. And that's exactly what happens when a person becomes a believer. When they accept Christ as Savior, they are picked up out of their sin. They're placed in Christ. And then they have a new song. A song of praise. And then notice the result of a person getting saved. And I'm sure that many have seen this result in their own lives. You know, once you have trusted Christ as Savior and others are watching and they see that change in your life and they wonder at first, well, what's happened to this guy? You know, I remember my dad saying when he got saved, and before he got saved, he partied a lot. We'll just put it that way. And really partied. And after he got saved, he cut out that type of lifestyle, and his old buddy said he'll be back. Just give him a bit of time and he'll be back. Well, I'm happy to tell you that he got saved in his 30s and he passed away when he was 68, and he never went back. He had a new song. It was a song of praise. And so that's exactly what God does for us when we become believers. But then I would like to also make this point. In order for God to do that for us, something else had to happen. You see, he can't lift us up out of our sin just because he's a God of mercy, and yet he is a God of mercy. But that's not enough. He couldn't just lift us up out of our sin because he is good. And we all know that God is good. Right? But that wasn't enough. He couldn't lift us out of our sin because he is love. And the scripture tells us that God is love. But still, that wasn't enough. In order for God to lift you and I out of our sin, it was necessary for the Son of Man, for the Lord Jesus, to be lifted up. In order for us to be lifted up, he first of all had to be lifted up upon the cross. He had to give himself as a sacrifice for sin. And the Lord Jesus reminded Nicodemus of that when he was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 14. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And so because the Lord Jesus was lifted up upon the cross, because he died, and for no other reason, God is able to lift us out of our sin and to give us salvation and to put us upon the rock and put a new song in our mouths of praise to our God. You know, we're going to sing an old hymn at the end that came to my mind, and Jeff said, no problem, so we're going to sing it. And it goes like this, one of the verses. It says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Oh, I'm so thankful to be saved. I can't tell you how much. Can't express it the way I would like to. It's a wonderful thing to have been lifted up from sin, to be put in Christ, and to have a new song in my heart. Love lifted me. That was actually written in 1912 by a man by the name of James Rowe. Now, usually when you think of 1912, you don't think of it being remembered for the hymn, Love Lifted Me. What do you think of in 1912? See how good you are with history. Very, not quite. Titanic is correct, right? That was the year that the Titanic sunk. But also it was the year that that beautiful hymn was written, Love Lifted Me. Now, as believers, even though we've been lifted up from sin and placed upon the rock, I believe that day by day, we still need God and His mighty power to often lift us up. You see, God isn't in the business of tripping us and making us fall. He really doesn't need to do that at all because we're pretty good at it ourselves. Right? We're pretty good at that ourselves. In fact, we have three enemies that are determined to make us fall. One, enemy number one, is our own desires. The Bible calls that the flesh. And it's our enemy, and our own desires can cause us to fall. You know, just things that are natural for mankind, like the desire to get ahead or the desire for pleasure. All of those desires, they can result in causing a Christian to fall. But then, worse still, we have a second enemy. And that's referred to as the world system. And nothing delights the world system anymore than when a true believer falls and it becomes news. The world is out to make us fall. And sometimes we will fall. And then not only do we have those two enemies, but recently we were talking about the devil. That's our third enemy. And the devil is also one who wants to make us fall. But the good news is this. If we do fall, God is there ready to lift us up. You know, I was thinking, when I was thinking about this, it reminded me of what the Lord Jesus had to say in John chapter 15. That's where he talks about him being the vine and you and I are the branches. And in verse 2, he says he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so it will be even more fruitful. Now, I don't have a vineyard. We really need, if Dean Love was with us this morning, he would be much more knowledgeable on this than I am. But if you take a look at a vineyard, and I've been in vineyards, very interesting to look at, but what you'll notice in the vineyard is the grape vines, they'll have them in a row. And then there'll be wires that run along that row. And then you'll have the vine and then the branches. And what the keeper of the vineyard does is he takes those branches. And what's he do? He lifts them up. You see, if he didn't do that, they'd drag on the ground. Vines are like that. They'd drag on the ground and they wouldn't produce fruit. But in order for them to produce fruit, like we see in this picture here, those vines, those branches have been lifted up and they have been tied to that wire. In other words, lifted up to bear fruit. And you see, that's what God is in the business of with you and I as believers. If we get down, if we fall, it's His desire to lift us up. And by lifting us up, then we will bear fruit. Now, there was another hymn that came to my mind. For some reason, all these hymns kept coming to my mind as I was doing this. And this one, when I thought of this one, I actually thought of Jeff Cartwright. Because this, I think, is one of Jeff's favorites. Because we sing it often. And I can still picture Jeff up here, Lee. I don't know how to lead, but he does such a great job of it. And it goes like this. When I fall, Jeff, what happens? You pick me up. He's nervous. When I fall, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. And that's exactly what God does for us. When we fall, he picks us up. And you know, there's another thing that I really appreciate about God and how he works in our lives. You know, sometimes people will think if they've had a fall and something's come into their lives and they think, well, can God use me? Like, you know, like am I down and out? Is this it? And the answer is no. God can still use you. Now, I have another object I'm going to use here. And I've used this one before, but when I used it before, it was actually 2007. Now, I thought this would be an interesting exercise for us as Bethel. What I would like is to have everybody who could have seen this lesson before in 2007 stand up. If you were part of Bethel in 2007, then, oh, please stand up, I should say. Okay, now what I want is for all those who are standing to take a look around. Okay, thanks very much. And the main thing I want you to notice is how many people were sitting down. God is good. God has blessed us abundantly. And we need to be so thankful for what God has done, because it's all because of God. But anyway, I did this in 2007, but I doubt if anyone remembers it, except me. But I have a bit of a weakness. Ruth has more of a weakness for pottery. And so one day I was down at a potter's house, Jack Dunning. Some of you might know him. Some of you might have had him as a professor at Algoma. He's also an excellent potter. And we were down there looking at his pottery. And I noticed this here sitting on his shelf. And I thought, well, there's none other like it. In fact, you can go wherever you like. You're never going to get this. I'm the only one that's got it, and it's not for sale. But you see, I said to him, well, how did you make that one? And he kind of gave me a smile, and he says, well, I dropped it. It fell. Now, he had a choice that day. He could have said, oh, no, and given the thing a good kick. Right? He might have felt like doing that. Or he might have just picked it up and walked over and thrown it into the garbage can. But he didn't. Instead, he looked down at it and he said, you know, that's kind of unique. And so he lifted it up and he finished it off. And this was the result. You see, that's what God does for you and I. If we fall, and it can happen to any one of us. In fact, the scripture tells us that if we don't think we can fall, to beware. And so any one of us can fall as believers. But don't give up. God is still going to pick you up. And you can still bear fruit. You can still be useful for him. Now, the other thing, though, that I noticed about this jug, and I believe it's true as well, you notice that the results of the fall, like the things that happened because of the fall, they didn't disappear. They're still there. And sometimes when we fall, there are consequences. And we might have to bear those consequences all our lives. But even though there are consequences for certain things when we disobey God, still, he can pick us up and he can use us. So never think that you can't be used by God. He will use any one of us as long as we're willing to listen to his voice and reach out to his hand and put our hands in his hand, and he will lift us up, and he can use us again. You know, I'm thankful for that. You know, sometimes when I look back on my life and I think of things that I've done and things that I've said, and I think, oh, how could God ever use me? Like, you guys have no idea, and you're not going to find out. But God lifts us up, and he uses us. Now, I was putting this together yesterday, some of it, the last part here, and Ruth came into the room where I was working, and so she said to me, what are you going to speak on? So, you know, I was giving her an idea, and she says to me, well, okay, but how does God pick us up? I thought, oh, thanks. You know? Actually, it was a good question. You know, how does he? You know, I've been saying that God picks us up, and so how does God pick us up? And so, anyway, I got thinking about it, and I decided I'd talk about God's toolkit, how he picks us up. Now, this isn't an exhaustive toolkit, but it's some of the things that God uses to pick us up. Now, this picture here is actually the toolkit for somebody who has a vineyard. You notice it's got two main tools. It's got the pruners, and then the rest of that paraphernalia is what they use to tie up the vines. And so that's the vineyard keeper's toolkit. But what about God's toolkit? What does he use in order to pick us up? Well, this is what came to my mind. So this isn't out of a book or anything. This is me sitting there scratching my head, trying to decide, well, what does God use? And I believe that one he uses is his word. Right? The Bible. Of course he uses that to pick us up. Because as we read through the Bible, and as we read the word of God, I mean, there are some verses that we're going to come to that are going to show us that we're really down. That, hey, my life's not quite right. But then if we keep reading, we'll find out, hey, there's hope. And God can use me again. And God can pick me up and use me. And so by reading the Bible, that's one of the ways that God picks us up. But of course, if you don't read it, he can't use that one, can he? You have to read it, and God uses it to pick us up. But then I believe that God also picks us up by his presence in our lives. You know, sometimes, if you haven't already, you're going to have to go through some turmoil in life. I mean, it's part of living, isn't it? Life is not always, as they'd say, a bed of roses. You're going to have to go through times of trouble. Times when it would be easy to get down. And as most of you know, in November of 2015, I had cardiac arrest. And they gave me 5% chance of survival. Now, for me, I didn't know anything about it. I was quite peaceful in a coma. But for Ruth, it was a different story. And you know what? Like, it would have been so easy, I think, I hope, for her to get down. You know, with that news. And yet she tells me that she had peace. How did that happen? It was because God's presence was real to her. And even though she could have very easily got way down, yet God lifted her up. And we believe that the way that he lifted her up especially was because she felt the peace and the presence of God in a time of turmoil. God lifts us up. Now, another way he lifts us up, I believe, is by his people. That's really a command that you and I have been given as his people. We're supposed to lift one another up. And if we're lifting one another up, then we're doing the work of God. You see, God's work's not to put us down. And if it's not God's work, I'll let you decide whose work it is. And so if you're putting somebody down, then you're not working for God. That's not his will. That's Satan's will, is to put people down. And so we need to lift one another up. We need to encourage one another. Now, isn't it wonderful when you can come into the presence of some Christian and just their attitude and the way they are, they lift you up. They're more like Winnie the Pooh, whereas some people are more like Eeyore, right? But we need to lift one another up. And I also believe that sometimes God uses, in our lives, he can use circumstances to lift us up. You know, just things that happen. And I'm sure that you can think of other things as well that would go in God's toolkit, but he uses different things, and these are the four that came to my mind, and he uses them in order to lift us up. And so this morning, I guess I have a couple of things that I was really hoping to get across by God's help. And one is that if you happen to be here and you don't know Christ as Savior, you're still feeling the weight of your sin, then the good news is this, is that God has provided a way in which he can lift you out of that condition. And he can put your feet on a rock and give you a new song in your heart. And that is by accepting Christ as Savior. That's why he provided his Son. That's why he came to the world. That's why he died upon the cross, was in order that God might be able to lift people up from sin and make them his own. And then the second thing is, for those who are believers, don't live a life of discouragement. God can use you. God will lift you up and can use you in order to bring fruit and glory to his name. And then I guess finally, for you and I that are believers, let's make sure that we lift one another up. That when people meet us, just our attitude is something that lifts them up. You know, sometimes you can meet people and you think, oh my goodness. Like, you know, sometimes you can be walking down the street and you're wondering, should I go to the other side? Look who's coming, right? Like, it's such a downer. And maybe I'm the only one that thinks that way. I don't know. But, you know, sometimes you oh my, like, wonder what's in the stores over on the other side of the street. You know, but then there are other times when you see someone coming and you think, all right, is it ever good to meet this guy or this woman or boy or girl or whatever? It's so neat to meet them because every time I meet them, it lifts you up. You know, sometimes it's the same old stories. I know with Andrew Sarlo there, like he lifts me up. Andrew and I have been friends for years and he has the same old jokes all the time. But you know the worst part of it is I laugh every time he tells. But you know, he lifts you up. We're very different, Andrew and I, but we've been friends for years and we're going to stay that way. And so this morning, be encouraged. And I'm going to ask the team to come up. And we're going to sing then that old hymn, Love Lifted Me. And then Jeff, you could pray and the service will be over. If there's anyone who would like to speak to someone, perhaps you're feeling the weight of your sin, or perhaps you're feeling that God can't use you and you would like to speak to someone, then any of the elders would be glad to speak to you this morning.